Now I invite you to please pray with me. Lord Christ, take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. Holy Spirit, challenge our hearts and minds and bring transformation in our lives. Change us to be your people. We pray these things also in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. This morning we're going to be looking at our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 4. So if you want to open up your blue pew Bibles, I'm not remembering what page that was on. If somebody knows, can you shout it out? 809 in the blue pew Bibles. Thank you. Our focus this morning is going to be on the concept of following. And we're going to have 2 points this morning. The first is a question, who are you following? And the second point is adventure versus quest. Now, how many of you regularly on a daily basis use your GPS? I do. Now, I know the city pretty well now, but I have to drive through that construction zone on 95 a minimum of 4 times a day. So I use it every day. Now, I'm also dating myself back when I started driving. I remember triptychs, when you went to AAA and you got, okay, you go this far, then you turn to the next page of the map and it guides you along. I remember the early days of GPS, where it told you how to get there, but gave you no concept as to what things would look like or what traffic might be there. It just gave you the directions. Sometimes you came to a closed road. Well, now what do I do? Now we not only have directions, but we have pictures and imagery. Well, I think the store is here, so let me click on that, and I can see what the stores look like. Oh, there it is. But we also receive route adjustments to guide you around traffic, construction, and accidents. That's what I depend on it for, as I'm going back and forth through that construction zone. Do I need to take Phillips Highway or go this way or that way? It's a daily routine. Now, GPS has proven itself to know the best way or the best path. And even though I found it trustworthy, when I see brake lights as far as my eyes can see, I instinctively think I know a better way. And sometimes on your GPS, it'll say this way is 2 minutes slower and this way is 4 minutes slower. And I think, well, no, that way doesn't look 2 minutes slower. I instinctively take things into my own hands, take over the role as expert, and choose that path. How does it usually work for me? Ask my children. Usually we're stuck in more traffic. I'm learning more often than not to trust my GPS. And yet, I still instinctively want to take over control. Why is it so hard for me to follow something that I know knows the way? I've learned to trust. Well, because instinctively, I have greater confidence in myself. And on some levels, we all do. I instinctively think I know better. Or I know a better way, or I know a safer way. Verses 20 and 21 of our reading this morning. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets, and they followed him. So this is our first point. Who are you following? Now, follow or following in our current culture carries many different meanings, very different meanings from the idea of my following my GPS instructions. We follow on Facebook. We follow on Twitter. We follow the news. Follow has taken on a sense of being aware of, rather than the stronger sense of adhering to or trusting or entrusting yourself to. Do you trust everyone that you follow in social media? Goodness, I hope not. Can you trust the news? In our reading from Matthew's historical account of Jesus, we're confronted with a much stronger meaning of following. And where we are in Matthew chapter 4, it's right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus is about 30 years old, and he's recently been outed by John the Baptist, as recorded in the Gospel of John. where Jesus was approaching John as John was baptizing in the Jordan River. And we read, the next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, I believe he shouted, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," identifying Jesus as Messiah. Jesus is then baptized, and as he rises out from under the water, Matthew records this scene, recorded in all of the Gospels. Behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him, on Jesus. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Then 40 days afterwards, Jesus retreats into the desert where he finds himself tempted by the evil one, where he finds himself entirely dependent on the Heavenly Father for most of the 40 days, and then tempted at the end. Jesus is at the beginning of his ministry, and he's now beginning to assemble his posse, his disciples, those not only that would follow him, but those to whom he would entrust the good news, to whom he would entrust the gospel, the message of salvation. And those to whom he was choosing, he would rely on them to carry that message throughout to the ends of the earth. So we know that the religious leadership from the Jewish temple, they were also around him at this time. They had heard of him. Did Jesus choose them? Did he call the Jewish scribes and teachers of the law? No. Here we see him calling out to two very few ordinary Jewish men. Actually, to two and then to two more. Verses 20 to 21, we just read that. And Jesus said to them, first he meets two brothers, Simon and Andrew. And he says to them, "Follow me." The original Greek wording there literally says, "Come here," or "Come here after me." He calls to them, "Come to me." I believe that we can understand these fishermen are not strangers to who Jesus is. They haven't yet perhaps met him, but they've heard stories. They've heard of his baptism. They've surely heard of John the Baptist's claim about him. Perhaps they've been made aware of Jesus' early healings, and he says, "Come here after me." We then read in this passage that the fishermen got their affairs in order, used up their remaining vacation, they sold their businesses, they purchased new clothing and equipment. Well, that's what I would do. No, we read, immediately. Immediately they left their nets, they left their businesses, they left, on behalf of the other two, their father, and they followed him. And that second word, "followed," is different from the first, "follow me." The first word for "follow" at the beginning was, "Come here after me." The second word, "follow," literally means going behind, following as a master. This is the stronger sense of following. They left everything from their previous life behind and followed Jesus. They did not receive Jesus' friend request or Twitter invitation to occasionally check in on Jesus' activity and like things. This was a change in life, a change in priorities for every day after they accepted that invitation. They followed him. They went with him and they did not turn back. They followed Jesus daily, seeking to absorb, to hear, and to absorb his teaching, daily receiving correction and rebuke along the way, daily seeking to follow his example, attempting to do the things he asked him to do, at sometimes saying, "Are you crazy, Jesus? We can't do that." Jesus had their attention. They were following him. Jesus had their allegiance. Back to our original question, who are you following? When you think of the disciples, it was clear who they were following. They were always with Jesus. They were readily identified as Jesus' people. who are you following? Well, think for a second of the crowds, because we read at the end of our reading, and great crowds followed him from Galilee, from the Decapolis, from all around the region. Throughout the Gospels, the crowds followed him. Many times, including Jewish religious leadership, they too followed, but they were following in a different way. They clamored for his attention. They desired him to do stuff for them. They wanted to see the next spectacular display of power. But they, however, did not necessarily receive Jesus' corrections or rebukes, we frequently read, and they turned away from him. They turned away when they didn't get what they wanted. When Jesus seemed to be leading them into hardship or trouble, they turned away. The crowds followed in a much different sense. The disciples were following their leader, Jesus, whom they believed to be Messiah. The crowds were following the latest and greatest spectacle, the newest miracle worker, the latest, you name it. So, who are you following? And if you answer, I'm a follower of Jesus, I ask a second question. Does your life exhibit evidence that you are following him as disciple? Or is it more like the crowd? Personally, I don't like that question. That's a meddling question. How are you following Jesus? And this leads us to our second point, adventure versus quest. I recently heard this from a wise friend of mine, and it fit in perfectly with what I felt like God was saying to us this morning. For this discussion, I'm going to use the example of Bilbo Baggins and his adopted heir, Frodo Baggins, from the writings of J.R.R. Tolkien. Adventure versus quest. Adventure in our discussion can be understood to be a journey embarked upon from which you expect to return. You expect to go on a safari or on a pilgrimage or on a vacation, an adventure, to return with pictures, stories from your trip, things to post that other people can like. There's an adventure. And that's the story of Bilbo Baggins. He goes on adventure from his home in the Shire, and then he returns. He's sent on an adventure. He returns with many stories, with some acquired mementos, and with the key memento that he was intended to get, the ring. But it was an adventure expecting to return. A quest, on the other hand, as we're going to understand it this morning, it takes on a very different, much more serious connotation. A quest is a journey embarked upon from which your return is not at all certain. A quest using modern-day imagery would entail selling your belongings to relocate and live in a different part of the country or different part of the world, to live and work with no certainty of ever returning to your homeland. I did missions in inner city Philadelphia in the late 80s. That was an adventure. I knew I was there for 2 months and I was going to return and go back to college. A few of the young men and women that I went there with never came back. For them, it was a quest. God changed their lives there, and they stayed. This is Frodo Baggins' story. He's also called out, but he sells everything. He doesn't really intend to come back. He leaves the Shire with no certainty he will return. And indeed, spoiler alert, if you're reading the books, cover your ears. At the end of the story, he does not return. The crowds following Jesus were on an adventure. They wanted to see exciting things, experience Jesus' power, but had no intention of leaving their former lives. They stayed with Jesus as long as they were feeling good, were fed, were entertained, or until something better came along, and then they returned. The disciples, on the other hand, followed Jesus on a quest. They left their lives behind and did not look back. Okay, another spoiler alert. 11 of them didn't look back. The 12th was still connected to his old life. We read this from John chapter 6. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Jesus is teaching. And we read many of his disciples there is a much broader term, turned away. Are you too going to turn away? Jesus asks them. In an interesting part of that passage, Jesus answered, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" They all affirmed, "We are with you," but yet one of them still hadn't given him his full allegiance. We know Judas Iscariot did turn back, turned away from Jesus to follow his own chosen path to wealth and prosperity. He turned away. Jesus called to the disciples, he called to the crowds, and he calls now to you and to me, "Follow me." Jesus declared in John 14, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." His way is the only way to the Father. Jesus also said this from a little later in Matthew. "I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." And a little later, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." This is a deeper following. The way of Jesus, if you're following his quest, is to deny yourself, to lay down your life and follow him and listen for his voice. New life in Christ Jesus isn't just an adventure from which you get to come back to your regular life. He intends to bring transformation and change if you will join him. It's not just something to do weekly or periodically to enhance your life or to build your scrapbook. Following Jesus and receiving new life through faith in him alone will lead you along his quest for you, and only he knows where that will lead. He will speak to you through prayer, through his word, through dreams, through your mind and heart, if you will listen and pay attention. Even when it's dark. We heard that in our reading from Psalm 139 at the beginning of our service, where we read, "Even in dark times." Okay, I've got a different translation. I'll read that one. "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you." And he continues. Actually, it was the verse before. "Even there, in the darkness, in the uncertainty, your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." Even in the darkest of times, even when there's clearly trouble ahead and all you see are brake lights, he can be trusted. Don't follow your instincts to go a different route. Discern, ask, and make sure you're hearing God, and then trust him. And that's where we see him move and work. He will never leave or abandon you. You may find yourself amidst wolves. In fact, he tells you, you will. Tragedy and trouble will cross your path, but he remains with you. He will guide you on his quest, and along the way, you will be changed, transformed day by day into his image, transformed to be his witness to the world, his light. And along the way, you'll learn to trust him more than your instincts. So today, if you're here, I don't assume everybody here knows Jesus. and is following him in the way the disciples followed, in the way we've discussed. If you're not yet following him in that way, I implore you to question, to seriously question the foundation of your life. What are you following? Our bodies are not eternal. They are temporary homes for our eternal souls. And one day, every one of you, your bodies are going to die. And with faith in Jesus Christ, you will enter, your soul will enter your new body with Jesus Christ in heaven. And there is hope. But not only that, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he gives you access to his new life now as you live and as you move and as you walk. Jesus promises new life now and eternal life after death, and his promise is certain. So if today you claim to follow Jesus, you are seeking to follow him, are you on adventure or are you allowing him to lead you out into the quest, which is uncertain? What is certain is your eternal resting place, but where he leads you will not be necessarily that certain. Where he calls to you. I pray that each of you will truly choose to seek to leave your old life behind and follow Jesus, to allow him day by day to bring transformation and change to your priorities, to your life, so that you too will be recognized as Jesus' follower. In our culture, if you truly follow Jesus, more and more you're going to look different. And you will possibly be singled out. And that will always be dangerous or peaceful. It will always be an opportunity to give witness and testimony for him. I pray you will be transformed, that you will listen for his voice to lead you through the ups and downs of life, the joys and the sorrows, for his kingdom purposes and for his glory. Lord Jesus Christ, I acknowledge that you are the Messiah, the Savior, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. You are the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to new life now, an eternal life with the Father. Lead your people to follow you on your quest. Give us your confidence and your strength to trust you alone in all things, to hear and to answer your prompting, and to live as your witnesses to the world. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.